7 o'clock. Good morning. How you doing, Pyle, Jim, and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios? Most trusted name in automobiles. Wednesday, it's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Also a chance to win with Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia, and we'll tell you who's speaking at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Banquet. The chairman of the Junior College Baseball World Series, Jamie Hamilton, will join us at 8:20 this morning. We'll also talk with new Central girls basketball coach, Raisha Kerstadter. It's coming up later on this morning. Cody Rourke's going to join us to look back at the Broncos draft from this last weekend. So plenty to get to in the program. Plus, your complaints, your gripes, your criticisms. By going to our website, or going to our, should say, our team line. You can go to our website always, but to the team line, text or phone call 970-242-1340. Buckeye, anything to get off your chest today?
Nah, pretty solid.
I just still drives me crazy that when people now with the left, taking the you know, going with a left turn at a light, mm-hmm. Light can be red, and they're just going to go through it. They're just going to turn.
What is red?
It's color. Apparently, we have a lot of colorblind people in this town. And the other day, where everybody had to wait because somebody decided, I have to get through this light. Are you a EMT? Are you a police officer? Do you have an emergency to get to?
Apparently,
why don't I see?
There's a fire somewhere.
Why don't I see that light on your car?
Yeah.
You realize the police
pretty much
drive Priuses these days. Or gigantic pickup trucks, or fill in the blank. Didn't realize they drove those as far as actual work vehicles. So that happened like 3 times yesterday. Man.
Only three? Oh, you live pretty close. That's why.
Yeah, so
there's
only
three lights between here and your house. So that's why you only saw it 3 times.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 lights.
Oh, okay.
6 lights between here and where I live.
Wow, they're getting better if you only saw it half the time. This town is terrible.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll take that back. It's everywhere.
It's an everywhere.
If there's a road with a light that turns red, there are people not paying attention to the red light.
Very true. I think it's very true. All right, so if you got something you want to complain about today, you can do that. Or we can celebrate.
Yeah.
The Avalanche getting it done last night. Mikko Rantanen, the moose was loose after he broke his stick last night.
It's his favorite stick, and it made him mad.
It made him mad.
I don't know if that's actually the case. It's a good story.
Good craftsman. Should never blame his tools, but Mikko did, but he responded with 2 goals last night, so it worked out okay.
The Jets are the tools.
You know, two guys that had incredible series, though, that didn't probably get talked about nearly enough, even though he had his first career playoff hat trick on Sundays, Valeri Nichushkin, goal last night, scored a goal in every game in the series. Arturi Lekkonen scored a goal in every game in this series. He had 5 goals in this series. That's pretty good. For a guy not named Makar, McKinnon, Rantanen, not
That's
too bad.
That's why losing him was so huge last year.
Yeah. And so, after they lost the first game 7-6, they win 4 straight. They make Connor Hellebuck look silly. Alexander Georgiev, it looked like the way he was playing, he was the Vezina shoe-in after game one.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Avalanche now await Vegas and Dallas. We'll have some of the sound from last night's win in Winnipeg. Connor McGahee, I believe, is joining us tomorrow on the program. So no Connor today, but we will have Connor tomorrow on the program. And Scott Hastings on Friday, by the way.
Nice.
From Altitude, previewing Nuggets and Minnesota. All right, so the Avalanche get the win last night. Got some reaction to that. Dallas or Vegas in the next round. Got a preference there. You can text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. All right, so like I said, Jamie Hamilton coming up later on this morning. to announce the speaker at this year's banquet. I think people will be very pleased.
Yeah?
It's a little change in what was supposed to happen, but...
nobody knows.
But sometimes, you know, you have to adapt, improvise, and overcome. Well, the secret of who's
the
speaking this year...
will be out.
It will be revealed at 8:20 this morning.
Nice.
When Jamie stops by. All right. Big thanks to the folks out at Central yesterday, to Josh King, to everybody out there that got us tables and chairs. Appreciate that. Thanks to Bradley out there, too, by the way. Son of our late colleague, Greg Winsel.
Yeah.
And Bradley grabbed us some stuff. A former CSU grad, Eric, you know, Horizon High School grad,
yeah,
Eric.
Horizon Hawk at this point.
His son, along with Bradley, brought us some chairs. It's nice to talk with him. He said, my dad used to take me to school when my dad would take me to school before he could drive, before his son could drive, that he always had the show on. And so he felt like he kind of grew up with us a little bit, I think. Was
didn't
kind of
stunt his academic growth?
Or his growth. He's a very tall dude. He's taller than me.
Nice.
Super nice young man. And so, just, you know, thanks to everybody out there yesterday. A wonderful place to call the game. I mean, right behind home plate.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit windy yesterday, but, you know, Josh has no control over that. So, but Central getting the win against Montrose yesterday. 10-0 victory. Ryland Nostrand was really good. Didn't pile up the strikeouts like he normally does, but just pitched a two-hitter yesterday. We'll take that.
Right. Not bad.
Very good yesterday on the bump for Central. So we'll bring some of the post game of that from Montrose coach Landon Wareham and Joe Kellerby, Central head coach. That's coming up later on. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. So I guess my prediction of McKinnon being the one to finish this was inaccurate. Alexander Georgiev played really well. You said him... Miko's been one that probably closed it out, obviously, more than anybody did last night.
Yeah,
with
probably.
Two goals.
But I think the guy that really shot down the Jets is probably Nichushkin with the hat trick on Sunday.
Yeah, that took what little fight was left in them and took it away. And Winnipeg battled last night, got it tied up a couple of times, and the Colorado eventually pulls away for the victory last night. Rockies, they fall at Miami.
Man, what a kick in the nards that game was. I'm sorry. There's no other way to put it. You go up, like, 5-0. Before I even get the game on, it's 5-0. And I'm like, oh, hey, all right.
They were the reverse Rockies last night. They scored 5 runs in the first. And then
lose 7-6.
And then Miami scores 5 in the ninth. And then Rockies get a run in the 10th, and then the Marlins score 2. In the 10th.
And Ryan Feltner was cruising, too, by the way. Like, he went into the ninth, and he was throwing a shutout in line to get his first ever professional complete game. He still only threw 89 pitches. Like, through 7 innings, it was something ridiculous. Yeah. Like, 68 pitches or something stupid like that.
Yeah, but he goes 8 innings last night, 5 hits with 3 strikeouts.
It was a really good performance, and then... Justin Lawrence blows it. Jalen Beeks finishes off.
Blowing it?
Yeah. What a mess. Ryan, they got after Sixto Sanchez early.
Ryan McMahon was good last night. 3-for-5. Doubled in a couple of runs.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Beck, first career hit.
Yeah. There was
a couple of them. He's hitting 500. Might as well retire. Just call it,
call it good.
Tell your kids I hit 500 in the show.
Look what I did, kids.
Yep.
You know, when you get to the show, somebody carries your bags for you.
Yep.
Tell that story.
Hey, we can play that clip from Voltura.
Just not the one that
just
I was trying
other
to.
One.
Just not the other one.
McGann had 3 hits, like you mentioned. Elias Montero had a big home run in that first inning. Yeah, watching baseball sucked, period, yesterday, because then the guards in Houston take a nice lead, then fall behind. Come all the way back, then a walk off in the 10th. This sucks. I hate this sport.
I am not happy.
Like,
today.
I committed like 5 hours of baseball watching to this. This sucks.
Oh, man.
Josh Naylor hit a home run. Estevan Florial Andrés Giménez hit a home run. He's got an OPS plus of like 11, and he hit a home run, and they lost 10-9. It's a team that demoted Jose Abreu before the game. I sent him to the minor leagues, and they scored 10 runs.
Quite a day.
Yeah.
Quite a day for you.
Could be Brewers Rays, though. They had a nice little scrap.
That is true. All right. So
it was a wild little baseball night. That was even before you got to the Avalanche.
Before that all happened well before. All right. So you can text or call the show today. Wine About a Wednesday if you got something you want to complain about. How about the Rockies?
Oh, man.
Not being able to take care of a 5-0 lead in a game on the road. Oh,
I reach for his Antac every time I see Justin Lawrence come out of the bullpen. This is going to suck.
This is not good. This is not going to end well.
This is going to be different every night, and this is not going to go well.
This will not end well. All right, so text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Great to have you along today. And it's time to dive into, before I do that, I guess I need to do this first before I get to that. I got something else I need to do first, which is we have a winner.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
This month, Daryl Gross, listener of the team, is our never-ending contest winner. Now, keep in mind, when we do this, it's with all of our radio stations. Mm-hmm. So you're in the mix with everybody, but Daryl wins that Honda motorcycle, that CTX 700, courtesy of Motorcycle Accessories, along with all the jacket, the gear, the helmet, of course. And so congratulations to Daryl. He is the winner this month of the Never Ending Contest. Team listener, well done, Daryl. So this month, now that we're into the month of May, Zach of Diamonds, you could win earrings, 14-carat yellow inside-outside natural diamond hoops, a necklace, along with a watch from Zach of Diamonds Jewelry. Zach of Diamonds Jewelry Repair.com. $5,200 value, by the way, with the earrings, the necklace, and the watch. And an incredible price package this month as well. Get all the details at theteam1340.com. But once again, congratulations to Daryl Gross. He is our winner right here on the team for the Never Ending Contest. Yeah. Big shout out to Motorcycle Accessories, by the way, for sponsoring the Never Ending Contest for the month of April. All right, now we can dive into
what's happening.
And, of course, what's happening, brought to you by our friends over at ComWest. Saw Nathan in the building yesterday. Good to see Nathan. ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions, IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, and backup and disaster recovery. As a managed IT services provider, their technology service partner program delivers a cost-effective solution to all of your IT needs. If you want to learn more, and they also, by the way, serve the entire Western Slope, you can call ComWest today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, can you give me some music? Get things going.
Yeah, him, like anything. You got requests?
Well,
we'll take him now on the team lab. No.
Play me some Avalanche.
We celebratory got the stacks music. Of wax, brother.
You know what? One of my favorite old radio things that they used to do.
Is it
Two for Tuesday?
Yeah,
Two for Tuesday. I missed it. Yep. Two for Tuesday.
It's a 5 o'clock 5-pack. Sitting high in the air chair, brother.
It's a Pat Benatar weekend.
Hit me with your best shot.
Well, the Avalanche did last night, and they took out Winnipeg. Thanks for setting me up there.
You got it.
Mikko Rantanen's two goals led the Colorado Avalanche to a 6-3 win Tuesday night at Winnipeg as they clinched their first-round playoff series. Colorado won four in a row after losing the opener 7-6.
I think we got better after every game. We kind of looked at things we could do better, and I think we ramped it up after each game. So really happy with the performance, and we keep moving now.
That's Mikko Rantanen. The Avs' Arturi Lehkonen scored his fifth goal of the series, with Valeri Nichushkin scoring a goal. Nichushkin scored a goal in every game of the series. Colorado goalie Alexander Georgiev turned back 33 shots, and the Avs wait for the winner of the Dallas and Vegas series in the second round. We were talking about Rockies fall at Miami 7-6 in 10 innings on Tuesday. Ryan McMahon doubled in two runs. He had three hits Game 2 of the series is today on the team with pregame at 4 o'clock. Grand Junction girls lacrosse team nailed down the Mountain League title with their 14-9 win over Fruto Monument Tuesday night at Community Hospital Unity Field. The Tigers' Maddie DeGeorge once again had another huge game with 5 goals, with the Wildcats' McKenna Jensen also scoring 5 times. Alex Campbell added 4 goals for Grand Junction as they finished Mountain League play at 7-1. Grand Junction co-head coach Nikki Pistonos says taking the family approach has been a key to their success.
We have girls from 3 different schools, and it's a big rivalry. So just trying to make sure that they understand, like, yes, we're playing under the Grand Junction title, but at the end of the day, we're playing for each other. So we've just been preaching family and having a positive attitude during the whole thing.
The 9-5 Tigers have one more game left in the regular season. They play Dakota Ridge on Friday. Fruto Monument finishes 5-2 in league, 7-4 overall. The Wildcats have two regular season games left when they host Montrose tomorrow in Aspen on Saturday. The Grand Junction boys lacrosse team completed a season sweep of Fruto Monument with their 12-10 win over the Wildcats earlier this week. The Tigers' Gavin Mottram and Tristan Britton each scored 3 goals, with Mason Compton scoring 3 goals for the Wildcats. Grand Junction improves to 8-7. They're 8-2 in the Mountain League, with Fruto Monument 4-8, 4-3 in league. The win keeps the Tigers in the playoff chase. Central Warriors baseball team able to beat the Montrose Redhawks yesterday at Central High School 10-0 to win in 5 innings by the run rule. Warriors catcher Lewis Koontz went 4-for-4 in the outing, including an RBI single to end the game early. Central scored 6 runs in the second inning to grab the lead as pitcher Rylan Nostrand tossed a 2-hitter.
He's now just kind of hitting midseason form because he just didn't pitch in March, and exactly what we needed from him on the mound. He pounds the strike zone. He can change speeds. You know, he took that line drive off the leg. It didn't faze him one bit. He's just really locked in for us right now.
Warriors coach Joe Kellerby, both teams are back in action Friday. It's our team's Highway 50 game of the week, with Pat Hooley calling that from Montrose on Friday. Pregame starts at 3:45, and tomorrow the team will have high school baseball. Palisade takes on Coleridge. Our coverage starts at 3:45 tomorrow from Palisade High School. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business or a new business phone system or improved surveillance, call ComWest today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back. Avs clinched their first-round playoff series at Winnipeg last night. Bring some of the sound, Jared Bednar, Mikko Rantanen, and Nathan MacKinnon, as the Avs await Dallas or Vegas in the next round. We'll have that coming up. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you got something you need to complain about today, today's the day to do it, and you could win a bottle of Talon Wine. Just send it to us on the team line. Text or phone call 970-242-1340.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports. Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Welcome back, 7:21. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. So Lenny Kravitz has a new album coming out, I think, at the end of this month. He's going to celebrate the new album dropping and turning 60 years old in Paris. Of course Lenny Kravitz would.
Of course he would. Did you see...
That's what he would do.
His daughter's speech inducting him into, like, the Walk of Honor or whatever.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz talking about the shirts that
that he would always wear, like, unbuttoned or completely see-through. It's hilarious.
Poking fun of his nipples?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Speaking of poking.
Zoe Kravitz doing that, giving her dad some grief.
But then again, if at 59 I looked like Lenny Kravitz, I wouldn't button my shirt either.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What's the point at that point?
Dude looks like he's in his 30s.
No kidding.
So unfair.
He looks more in his 30s now than he did in his actual 30s.
It's probably true. Yeah, it's true. I was just thinking, I don't know if you're familiar with the song, Somebody's Watching Me from Rockwell.
Yes.
That has Michael Jackson doing the backing vocal part of it. That song was originally offered to Lenny Kravitz.
Really?
And he turned it down. He said, nope. This is when he was still kind of trying to figure out,
was he
a rocker? Is he a pop guy? He got offered that, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Ended up being a big hit for Rockwell, but then that was it.
That's a good call, though, for
Then that was it. Yeah, exactly, because that was the high watermark for that guy.
Because I know people know it's Rockwell, but he's overshadowed by Well, the rest of Barry Gordy's kids, by the way. And Michael Jackson in the song.
And, yeah, and then Lenny Kravitz has gone on to have an incredible career that did not necessarily, had more hits than Rockwell ever had. That was it for him. All right, so speaking of hits, there were plenty in the series between the Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. Avs get the win last night, 6-3. So here's some of the sound from last night. Now, there was some frustration from one Mikko Rantanen last night. Puck wasn't just going his way, broke his stick, but then goes out and scores two goals last night to give the Avalanche the victory. Here's Mikko Rantanen on the stick breaking and just how the Avalanche played after losing game one.
Yeah, well, Puck wasn't really bouncing at times to our way, so that's what happens. Sometimes you get frustrated. Obviously, try to avoid doing that. Overall, series was really, really good for us. I think we got better after every game. We kind of looked at things we could do better, and I think we ramped it up after each game. So really happy with the performance, and we keep moving now.
All right, so that's Mikko Rantanen. Nathan MacKinnon was asked about the calluses, that the scar tissue that the Avalanche have accumulated over the years in playoffs. Disappointing years. Last year was a disappointing season, losing the first round of the expansion Kraken. Let us not forget the year before they won the Stanley Cup, the now famous Nathan MacKinnon. I've been here however many years, and we haven't won bleep. It's a team that's built up some scar tissue in terms of winning big games, losing big games, losing series, having exits from the Stanley Cup playoffs far earlier than they should have with the talent they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've built up some calluses, some scar tissue. And MacKinnon was asked about that and in this series too, because there's a lot of doubters, particularly on Georgie after game one.
Yeah.
Could the Avalanche beat Winnipeg? And all they did was go out and win four straight to win the series. Here's Nathan MacKinnon.
Over the years, you just learn that there's going to be highs and lows, and it's how you react to it along the way. And super, super happy with everyone, how hard we worked and how hard we battled this series. It was amazing. Before the series, I think we came in really humble. You know, we weren't playing well. These guys just beat us 7-0, so it was a big wake-up call to how hard it takes to even win a series in this league. So super proud of the guys, and a lot of work left to do here.
All right, so that's Nathan MacKinnon after the win last night. So Jared Bednar asked about kind of what the difference in the series was. The play of the forwards. No doubt about that. And here's Jared Bednar on responding to that question.
It's the work from our forward group. I touched on this after game one. I think that, you know, and when I say that's the best our team's played over a 5-game stretch during the year, that's all, you know, that's just my opinion. It's an important time of the year. So when you're able to kind of do what you've done offensively through the course of this series, it's pretty impressive. And that was like, it just 12 forwards. And I'm not discounting the D. I'm just like looking at our forwards as a group, the work that they put in, the forechecking pressure, reloading above pucks, like all the details that we talk about through the course of the season. I just thought, like, there wasn't many downshifts, and they certainly didn't cheat us on their effort or commitment and their sort of relentlessness on the puck. You know, they were outstanding. They were a physical group. They were determined to get to the net. And when you have 12 guys doing that, that's hard to play against.
All right, so that's Jared Bednar. And so for the Avalanche, they had Manson, who had the shot go off his own player, passed Georgie, gave him the 1-0 lead, just, you know, 75 seconds into it. Avalanche then got Lekkonen's goal, kind of a knuckler that found the net. And so they quickly, the hockey gods taketh and they give. I don't know how that works, but how they phrase that properly. But they were able to overcome that early deficit on the road, chance to clinch. They, once again, that scar tissue that this team has, the calluses that they have, like, okay, we're fine. And they go out and take care of business the rest of the way.
I think 3 years ago, this team loses a series.
I think so, too.
And I know there's a lot of different guys that were on this team that as opposed to that team, but, you know, the learning how to win and learning how to close out opponents that maybe have better pieces in different areas. The Jets' goaltending on the whole was better than the Avalanche. I know Georgie had led the league in wins, but he also had, like, a terrible save percentage and terrible goals against. Connor Hellebuyck was the better goaltender. And
absolutely.
They had to solve him, and I think the fact that this team has found ways to beat teams that are better than them on en route to a Stanley Cup kind of gives them that confidence, like, all right, that's one game. We got to figure it out. Like, and I think the six goals, even though they lost, that helped. If they go out and they lose 7-1, 7-2, or, God forbid, 7-0 again for the second time in a week, in game one, then they might end up losing this series anyway. But the fact that they could just, like, all right, we just need to play better here and here, and we'll be all right.
There wasn't panic.
No. And I think they had to learn how to not panic.
And that forward group, where you get Miles Wood with back-to-back goals in the first two games,
mm-hmm.
Lekkonen, Nichushkin.
Middle stat.
I mean, not to mention Brandon and Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's they just wave after wave mm-hmm. just kept coming at Winnipeg. And where you could see the Avalanche, this is a team that's got a championship pedigree. They have got that pelt on the wall, that trophy on the mantle. With this group of guys, not every single guy, obviously, but with the core group of guys,
yeah,
that they know what it takes. And you got that sense where Winnipeg, it was an outlier. They got seven goals in game one because that's not who they are. And I think if you're a Ricky Bonus, you felt we're lucky that we were able to do that in game one because we're not going to be able to replicate that again in the series. And they did not. Or the Avalanche, it's like six goals. You know,
we'll do that again.
We're capable of that. That's not out of our ability to do that again. They did that again in this series. Did it again last night. It's a case of a Winnipeg team that's a talented group, but also that maybe we, and Connor brought this up, maybe we overvalued Connor Hellebuck's numbers going into this. Great regular season goaltender. Probably going to win the Vezina. It's not going to keep that from probably happening. But his playoff numbers were not great. And that was the thing that I think a lot of us didn't really look at close enough mm-hmm. was what's he like in the postseason? You can be a tremendous regular season player, great goaltender in the regular season, but what happens when the lights are the brightest and it means the most? And Hellebuyck didn't deliver for them. Give Georgie credit. Dreadful first game, able to right the ship.
Georgie got better. I think Connor Hellebuyck benefited the regular season by not having to see the same team night after night after night. Because then you'd have to kind of figure out other goaltenders, then come back and be like, oh, that's right, Hellebuyck, and then it's another game, and then you're off. And to kind of give us, I guess, the benefit of the doubt on Connor Hellebuyck and, you know, maybe overstating his significance, I remember 2 or 3 years ago, like, man, Darcy Kemper is going to be our goaltender.
That's going to be the guy
going into the playoffs. So, I mean, you don't really know how a guy is going to do in the playoffs until you see it. So to say, like, oh, you know, Connor Hellebuck's fantastic, it doesn't mean he's not. He faced a really good offensive team, and it showed.
But what are the numbers in the playoffs? And they were not great.
They're not great.
And back to the forward group, another guy, Zach Parise.
Yeah.
Who, a couple goals in the series, guy they...
LeBron's age.
It basically picked him up off the scrap heap. Nichushkin was huge in this series. Nichushkin was absolutely monstrous in this series.
Zach Parise is older than LeBron.
Yeah. Nichushkin's first period goal is the seventh of the playoffs so far, sixth on the power play. Tied the franchise records for most goals in a single series. Joe Sakic in 96. And Réal Cloutier in 1982.
Oh, of course. Can't forget him.
Cannot. But a lot of us, Georgie rising to the occasion. Georgiev being ready for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Took a big setback in game one, dusted himself off and said, okay, let's go. Let's bleep and go. And then he did that. Now we'll see what happens with Vegas and Dallas. As far as your playoff scores from last night, you had, of course, the Avalanche winning 6-3 last night. Nashville beating Vancouver 2-1. Vancouver leads that series 3-2. You also had Carolina eliminating Patrick Waugh and the Islanders. Adios.
See ya.
6-3. And you also had Toronto beating Boston 2-1. Bruins still lead that series 3-2. Went to OT, by the way, for that one. So Dallas or the Golden Knights? Which one should the Avalanche? They're look, they don't care. They don't care at all. They don't care.
I would much rather have Dallas than the Golden Knights. Just on a feel of things. I know Dallas had more points, but way more points. I just feel like the Avalanche would play better against Dallas.
Yeah, the Avs this season. See, the Stars were 1-2-1 against the Avalanche. No, that was last year, excuse me. Come on. Give me the right year.
Like, I know early in the season, the Knights beat the Avs 7-0. The Avs came back with a 3-0 shutout. And then right before the playoffs, the Knights beat the Avs that come from behind win in overtime. I'd much rather face Dallas, I guess. Because Dallas, kind of like Winnipeg, just hasn't quite figured out how to do it yet. Whereas Vegas, they're the defending champs, and they know how to make those adjustments. They know how to win.
Yeah, Dallas is one. Avs won 3 out of 4 against Dallas.
Yeah, see, I'd take Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas won the last one 7-4, but the Avs won 6-3, 5-4, 5-1.
Yeah, I went Dallas.
You probably won Dallas. Matt Duchesne's Dallas now.
Is he?
Believe that is the case.
Huh.
I believe.
He's, who knew?
I believe Matt Duchesne is now a Dallas Star. I believe. Yes, he is. He's a Dallas Star. I thought I saw him talking the other day and had a Dallas Stars jersey on. All right, so wait to see what's going to happen with Vegas and Dallas. Nuggets are, you know, getting ready for Minnesota coming up on Saturday night. And NBA scores from yesterday. Sixers beat the Knicks in overtime, 112-106. Knicks still lead that series 3-2. And your Cavs sneaking out a win against the Magic last night, Buckeye.
Oh, man.
104-103. Cavs lead the series 3-2.
This series has been ridiculous. It is shaving years off of people's lives because the Cavs went out. They won game one handily. They won game two by 10. They lost game three by almost 40 points. They lost game four by almost 30 points. And then they win game five by a point. It's like, oh, come on. Pick a lane. Either you're going to dominate the Magic or you're going to get whacked around. Pick a lane, please.
Figure something out.
Come on, Donovan Mitchell.
But how about Tyrese Maxey last night? For the Sixers. Mm-hmm. 46 points last night, 9 assists. And just put them on his back last night in that in that win over the Knicks.
I think he's just kind of prolonging
the inevitable
their execution, but man, he had a great night last night.
He certainly did. All right, 7:37. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Let's see, Sean O. Team, I was a game four. And taunted a few Jets fans when I saw the line from Top Gun, eject, eject, eject.
Yeah. I love our buddy Connor with the way he intros games, right? Like Force of Nature against whatever. He did the Force of Nature versus Hot Tub component. And I just started cracking up. That was pretty good.
Sean O, that was very good. Connor, that was excellent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, Jim, the Avs' third and fourth lines, particularly that fourth line, stepped it up in the series with the Jets, not just the big boys in the series. That's what we talked about. It was the secondary scoring. It was the other guys in this series. The Miles Woods of the world, Zach Parise, or other guys that Trenton got a goal last night for the Avalanche. I mean, there were other guys that stepped up. It wasn't a series dominated by McKinnon, Makar, Rantanen. It was a lot of other guys getting involved in the mix. RJ, you're right about that. See, from Dylan, want to whine about how the shared left-hand turn lane is not a driving lane or merge lane. When you turn onto Patterson and try to wedge yourself into traffic, people, nice adjustments by the Avs. Still don't think Jared Bednar gets enough credit overall. I do find it interesting that people like to criticize Michael Malone, Jared Bednar a lot, and all they've done is won championships.
Yeah.
I mean, I know at times you've been critical.
I've been critical of both.
Of both guys.
For decisions they've made or decisions they've not made. But, you know, I think that comes with the expectations a little bit, right? Like, I know Jared Bednar probably doesn't get the credit he deserves, but he's also going to get more criticism when they don't play well because of the peak they can reach. Same with Michael Malone. If they don't play well, they don't play well in that game against the Lakers. People are going to be way more critical than 3 years ago when, hey, you know what? We're up 3-1 against the Lakers. Now it's, all right, you're going for a repeat or you're going for a second cup in 3 years. Just being up is not enough. And so that's where some of the criticism comes in.
And right now, I think each team, the one thing that you still could potentially criticize, even though they're under the second round, both these teams, can Georgie keep this going? Did they make a mistake by not getting a veteran goaltender?
Yeah.
Along with Mittelstadt and Walker and all the pieces, Trenton, all the pieces they brought in at the trade deadline, will that ultimately come back to haunt them at some point? If Georgie keeps playing the way he is right now, then the point is moot. But boy, after game one, you were sure, did they make a mistake there by not getting a veteran goaltender?
Yeah, we were definitely talking about it.
And then for the Nuggets, it's going to be the bench. We had Pete the Viking boy on, also a big Timberwolves fan, and the impact Bruce Brown had, not just in their run to the championship last year, but in that series particular against Minnesota, and how they don't have a guy like Bruce Brown. Christian Brown, good player, not Bruce Brown. Peyton Watson, good player. Those guys, both young players, developing players. Neither one is Bruce Brown. Mm-hmm. You put them both together, they're not Bruce Brown. And could that be a problem? Reggie Jackson, good player. It's not Bruce Brown. It is not a guy that can defend a lot of different folks on the floor, can score, could take it to the rack, could hit a three, was a Swiss Army knife for this team, could run the point. Could play a two if you needed him to. They don't have that guy. Reggie Jackson's not that guy.
No, and like I know they're going to miss the Bruce Brown component, but another problem that is that makes you rely on Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic even more.
Yes.
And the longer the series go and the deeper into the playoffs you go, the more minutes they're going to have to play. And then fatigue starts to become an issue as well.
Yeah. There lies part of the problem of you've gone young, and that's potentially good down the road. If Watson and Brown keep growing and developing, you could have two really, really good players coming off the bench. But they don't have the experience. They don't have the skill set that Bruce Brown had. And that's... If there's something... the additional minutes on Murray and Jokic, yeah, I hope, like you said, you hope that does not become an issue mm-hmm. going forward. Now, you've got the cap problem for Jamal Murray. You've got the ankle problem for KCP. Of course, fortunately, time here to get treatment and get ready before Saturday.
And I know that he plays a different role. I mean, Christian Brown was around last year. Like, he does have kind of the firsthand knowledge of how to get it done. Watson, I don't know yet. I'd like to hope that he could get it done. But Christian Brown was on this squad last year.
And he had good minutes.
He had a chance to watch how Bruce Brown handled things. Now, you kind of have to have that inside of you. I don't know if it's something you can necessarily learn, that calm under pressure nature. But you can definitely kind of fake it a little bit if you're Christian Brown by watching.
Yeah, you would hope so. You would hope. All right, one final one before we get sound check. From Wayland this morning, I'll take you to the Golden Knights or Stars. We just put up 28 on the best defensive team in the NHL. It's a good way to look at it. Good way to look at it. All right, 7:44. It's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, Rod Black is a former play-by-play guy for the Toronto Blue Jays. On Tuesday, he did a little bit more play-by-play because his son Tyler Black made his major league debut for the Brewers. First at-bat, got his first career major league hit. And so the Wisconsin, Bally Sports Wisconsin sideline reporter Sophia Minert was interviewing Black's family during his second at-bat, and the old man got to do some more play-by-play.
Guy from hockey also helps. There's a base hit to right field for my boy, Tyler Black. There you go. Oh, there you go. Two for two. Happy birthday, Nancy.
That was incredible. He's got tears in his eyes, guys. This is an incredible moment for the Black family. Congratulations, you guys. What a fantastic day.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think we're going to start drinking heavily.
That's great.
So Nancy Black, Tyler's mom, celebrated her birthday yesterday, and her son went 2 for 2 in his first two at-bats in the major leagues.
That's incredible.
It's pretty cool.
The only thing I can make a comparison to that, my son Nick was playing for Palisade, and we went to Steamboat. It was not Kendall's birthday, but we went to Steamboat. Kendall went with me because we wanted to watch Nick play, and got in the game against Steamboat and had a 50-yard touchdown. It was his first varsity touchdown. And I had to, like, keep from just... Losing my mind like it was the most incredible touchdown in the history of mankind. And, yeah, just... So I can relate a little bit to that. Not the same level. He was getting his major league debut, two base hits. It's his wife's birthday. But, That was a cool. It's cool as a dad when you get that opportunity to call your child doing something athletically. It's a real honor to be able to do that. All right, 7:46. We will take a break. We'll come back. And yesterday, Central played host to Montrose in Southwestern League Baseball. Bring some of the sound from that from yesterday and the Warriors win over the Red Hawks. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Text or call us 970-242-1340.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. 7:49, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. What do you want to see the Abs face in the second round, Dallas or Vegas? Text or call us today. If also had something you want to whine about, hit us up on the team line, 970-242-1340, before we talk Central Montrose. Rockies grabbed a 5-0 lead and then ultimately lost in 10 innings, 7-6 at Miami yesterday. Here's Bud Black after the game.
You know, we came back and got them. The Marlins put together some at-bats, against Ryan in the ninth, and then Lawrence also. We shot ourselves in the foot a little bit there with the two hit-by-pitches. Innocently started with a little ground ball base hit, and then some things got away from us. Justin's sinker was up. They hit a couple line drives up the middle. We had a chance, obviously, in the 10th, we went ahead, which was nice. A big hit by Mac. Mac had a, you know, a big night offensively. And then, their half of the 10th, Matt on second and stuff, Beeksy fly ball, to center. Good hitter in a rise. Didn't get him over. But then De La Cruz, big hit. And then the little dribbler to the right side. Goody made a good play. Just Ellie couldn't handle it. So,
all right. So the Rockies lose 7-6 in 10 innings. Ryan McMahon with three base hits. He doubled in a couple of runs. So the Rockies will take on the Marlins, second game of that series. We'll have it today here on the team with Rockies on deck at 4 o'clock. Dakota Hudson goes up against Rodery Munoz. So that is your pitching matchup today from Miami in that one.
First team since 1900 to trail in their first 29 games of the season.
Shake your head.
Hey, they didn't trail, though, until after the very last pitch was thrown yesterday. So they're getting better.
It's improving. All right, yesterday, Central played host to Montrose in Southwestern League Baseball. Central picking up a 10-0 run rule victory in five innings yesterday. And after the game, Vernon McGee had the chance to talk with Red Hawks coach Landon Wareham about the loss.
Always hate doing these interviews after a loss, but it's part of the game. The nice thing is about this game too is you turn around and you come back on Friday. So let's look to Friday. Okay, probably Gates throwing right on Friday, and again you don't face Nostrand on the mound too.
Yeah, thankfully he can come back, man. That's a good kid, and he's pitched well in this league for years and years and years. So my hat's off to him. He did a great job today.
So what can we look forward to now? The playoffs are coming up. You're in good position. What do you got left in league? I know you got Central on Friday. What do you got left after that?
That's it. Just Central on Friday, and then we got Delta, Palisade, and then we'll head back over and finish our game versus Loveland.
Okay, so you got some teams that are ranked pretty high, so games that you get those wins, it'll help you in RPI. Anything you want to tell us before we're done here?
No, sir. We got lots to clean up.
All right, good luck. Good luck.
All right, that's Landon Wareham. And so after the game, Vern talked with Joe Kellerby and talked about Ryland Nostrand, who had the arm injury, didn't start out pitching this year after he led the 4A ranks in strikeouts last year. Yesterday, throws a two-hitter, got backed up by a six-run second inning and also 13 hits yesterday. And Lewis Kuhn's going 4-for-4. He also drove in the game-winning run as well for Central. Here's Joe Kellerby with Vern McGee.
Man, with Joe Kellerby, great win for you. We talked about coming to league, hoping to get some wins here with this young squad, and you've already got 10 wins on the season. So tell us about this squad.
Yeah, it's a good balance. We have some seniors, obviously. Ryan Nostrand was fantastic on the mound. But, we've got two freshmen in the outfield. We have a freshman at third base today that started two incredible double plays for us. Omar Atchley with the big hit with two outs, to score Trevor Zeke there to keep, adding runs. With Montrose, you can't play tight with them. They're tough to beat when you play close. So we talked about taking advantage of situations where we can just keep scoring run after run after run and try to get out of here early. So it's a good mix. Our young guys are learning, and our older guys are really stepping up right now.
Let's go start with Lewis Kuhn. Four hits on the day. So he's really gotten hot. What's been the thing that's turned him around, getting all these hits later in the year?
Well, he works so hard at hitting. When he's not at practice, he's finding a cage, and it's just finally, his time, and he's seeing the ball really well. The last hit to end the game, the ball was at his eyes on a 3-1 count, and he's just seeing it really well. He works and works and works at the craft of hitting, and you're just seeing the product of it.
And you mentioned those double plays. Two double plays in five innings is huge, of course, so you got to play good defense with good pitching. How nice is it to have Ryland Nostrand come back from that injury? And again, I think he gave up two hits today, two hits last time he was out there. So what about Ryland Nostrand?
Yeah, we weren't sure we were going to have Ryland on the mound all year long, and we kind of got some good news late in March, and we've been working hard kind of with a small team, with a physical therapist and with our pitching coach, Trey Morrell. And he's now just kind of hitting midseason form because he just didn't pitch in March. And you're seeing exactly what we needed from him on the mound. He pounds the strike zone. He can change speeds. He took that line drive off the leg. It didn't faze him one bit. He's just really locked in for us right now.
All right, so that's Joe Kellerby. So after the win, Central, they improved to 2-3 in Southwestern League play. They're 10-8 overall. Montrose, they're 3-4, and they're 10-9 in league play. Fruto Monument right now, 4-0 in league, and 12-4 overall, fourth-ranked team in 5A right now. Grand Junction, they're 4-2 in league, And they have the two games coming up with the Wildcats are 11-7 on the season. Durango is in last place in the league. They are winless in league play. So we'll have the second game of that series, our Highway 50 game of the week, this Friday on the Team Sports Network 102.1 in Montrose. Pregame at 3:45 for Central at Montrose this Friday.